so grateful to be in your house this beautiful Lord's Day morning. And Father, we just thank you so much for this Christmas season as we come together and we worship and celebrate the blessed birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Mm-hmm. And Father, we thank you for that precious gift.
Amen.
And Father, we just we thank you for this church and every soul that's gathered in here today, that we might join together as we worship and praise you. And Father, we thank you for how you've worked at Pleasant Grove, the things that you have done and helped accomplish here through this church family. And Father, as we go into the remainder of the service here, we ask that you would certainly be in our midst and prepare our hearts, Father, for the message that we will hear, that we might soak it up and we might find new revelations into your beautiful word that will help us to be a better servant this week as we go forward in our own individual areas. And so, Father, we just come to thee with much thanksgiving and much praise in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Karen. Be seated. We have a couple verses today. Luke and my friend George is going to read them for us. Go ahead, Luke.
The first one is 1 John 4, 9 through 10. In this, the love of God was made manifested among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. All right, the second verses are Psalm 89, 1 and 2. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Okay, we have any announcements? Okay. Prayers? Any updates on anybody on the back, the page, or here? Okay, go ahead.
Prayers for Wayne Wagner's family. He passed away on Wednesday.
Wayne Wagner?
Wagner.
Okay.
My brother, Marvin Clark, the cancer, the treatment's not helping.
Okay, Marvin Clark? Yes.
Sorry, what was Wayne's last name?
Wagner.
It's
yes.
Joanne Rowan's brother. That's Wayne Wagner.
Okay.
Yes. Macy Summers, my great-granddaughter, was just born this morning, and she weighs 3.13 pounds. She's in the NICU.
Mason Summers.
Macy Summers, in S-U-M-M-E-R-S. It's my son Slade's stepson's daughter.
Okay.
So it's my step-great-granddaughter. And also Larry, he's stubborn. My husband is stubborn, and he doesn't like to go to the dentist, and he needs to, and he doesn't like to go to the doctor, and he needs to, and he keeps losing weight, and he can't hear well. So he doesn't like to be around people because he can't hear anything. And now he's started with some sort of allergy thing, and his nose is running and all this. So
pray for him. We got it.
Please continue prayer for my daughter-in-law, Vicki. Still a very touch-and-go situation. We just don't know if she's going to be able to make it or not. She's still on the ventilator. She does have her right mind, so we're very grateful for that. So she's finding ways to communicate as best she can with Johnny. And they're wanting to get her off the ventilator, and that will be the iffy process there, whether she can survive that or not with her extreme breathing problems as well. And she has agreed to have the tracheotomy done if they find that necessary. So just a very, very fragile situation. And just thank you for all the prayers. I think that's why she's still here, because y'all have prayed so much.
She's in which
one? She's in Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
Dictator.
Anybody else? Praise? Nope. Go ahead.
We were supposed to have kids today, but Nolan has the flu. He just got over the COVID, and then Daniel got the COVID, but now Nolan has the flu right here at Christmas time, so he bounces back pretty well, but we don't have to put him on the prayer list. I just wanted to mention him today for prayer.
Okay. Is there somebody else hand back there? Okay. Praises. It's always praised. Praise to be here. Yes, breaking the weather. Yes, ma'am.
I'm just so thankful that I can be here today. And okay. That Richard is much better.
Rich, okay, good. That's what we're wanting. That's what we're wanting to hear. Richard.
Richard's kind of convalescing there at home, and could use a card maybe, and I'm sure Barb sent him a card, but maybe from others, or maybe as you're going out that straight stretch, you might stop and say hello to him.
The stars.
Yeah.
Yep, the stars.
The house with the stars.
Yep, the stars.
That's how everybody, when our front door is open, we've got that glass front door.
Right.
If the main door is open, our house is always open to anybody.
Okay. Birthdays. Yes.
December 18th. 78 years old.
Praise the Lord.
Absolutely. Yes.
Birthday.
Who?
It's Tuesday. Trey.
Okay. I knew it had to be coming around something. You just sat real quiet. You didn't say anything.
Last Tuesday.
Yeah. We weren't here. It's okay. All right, we'll give you that. Anybody else? Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you.
Many more.
Absolutely. Anniversaries?
Mention ours is coming up on the 30th.
Oh, for land's sake, it's not now.
And we've
got a lot of background noise here.
We've been married 97 years.
I know that.
Poor Jan. Oh, poor Jan.
How did she stand?
Come on. What is it, the 29th?
Oh, it's the 30th.
30th.
The end of the year.
What is today? The 20th?
21st. I missed it last week. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so, all right. If it's the 21st, you've only got 8 days. 30th. All right. Yeah, the 30th.
Yeah.
10 days. So, what will next Sunday make? We'll get you today, Jim. We'll get you today. Well, it's fresh on our mind.
Thank you.
All right, play.
Happy birthday to you. Happy anniversary to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy anniversary to you.
Many more, absolutely. Maybe. Okay, we'll not go there. Let's turn to page 188. The first Noel, 188.
batch when you need it. I think we're out of juice. I got any matches? Just a little bit there.
See if you can see if I can.
Get this one.
That's not gonna work.
We don't have a spare one, do we?
Well, is anything in there or not?
Maybe no bag yet.
You don't have any smokers anymore, do you?
Good.
Just hey, there we go. Hey, there's the answer. Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, maybe it works.
After the angel came to Mary and told her that she would conceive the child in her womb and would call Jesus, Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word."
Luke 1:38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word in me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
And Mary sings her song of praise. "May soul magnify the Lord's. He has scattered the proud. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones. He has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry. He has provided for the poor."
Mary's song, Luke 1:46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
We marvel at Mary, the mother of Messiah, herself a single teenage mother, herself poor and powerless. But she understood that the baby she would call Jesus was sent not just to her, but to the world, to the hungry, to the weak, to the very young and to the very old, to those who suffer or are in pain. We light this fourth candle to remember Mary, the mother of Jesus. May the light of this candle also remind us that the light of Jesus shines forever and for everyone.
Angels dream with anthems.
before I start my message, I'd like to kind of catch everybody up on current events. First of all, I don't know where everybody was last Sunday. I was out here 11 o'clock at the pavilion, and nobody showed up. Did you? Yeah.
Remember, you're in church.
Okay. And somebody was going to the ornery and call me and see, like, you were here and you were going to see where I was, right? Who else but Bill Shackelford to do that?
I wanted to say, when I got your message, I'm sitting down there in my living room and my start and all that, and I'm saying, and, you know, I'm there all by myself in that big silent house, and I'm saying, what? And he says a few more words, and I'm saying, what? And then he comes around with the real deal, you know.
Another thing, during this week or two, I heard or saw on my phone the story or the fact, I guess, that through AI now, you can talk to Jesus. Oh, yeah. Not only that, if you want to talk to Paul or Silas or Peter, you know, you go through AI somehow and you can do that. So, just wanted to let you know that. Not that it makes any difference to me, and I don't suppose it does to you. But that's where things are headed, isn't it? Third thing I wanted to say was, thank you so much, Jan. I want to thank you so much for the gift from the church. We appreciate that very much. Let's start by reading the scripture. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25.
This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Bless these words.
Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for an opportunity to come and share with each other this morning your truth, the truth of your word. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that that love is agape love, that you extend to us without the idea of receiving anything in return. You do it through your grace. You do it because you've created us in your image, and you've created us to love you. And so this morning we want to delve into this idea of love, and we just pray that we will come through this worship service loving you and loving one another more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
What a privilege and responsibility, I guess, to be before you this morning. I was thinking this week how much of a responsibility it is to be up here for us. And I was also thinking that I, like some of you, I think, in talking to you, have trouble sleeping at nights at times. In my case, it's acid reflux, or it's numbness of my hands and arms. Or maybe it's like, I've talked to you about this before, or kidded you all about this, maybe it's just a guilty conscience that I can't sleep. And I use that as a joke many times. But if this happens to you this holiday season, here are some suggestions that you can think about, pray about, as you're laying there, it'll put you right back to sleep. First of all, how wonderful it is that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. House of bread. And that he was the very bread of life. And he is born in a place called the house of bread. Secondly, that the shepherds were the first to gaze on the Lord Jesus. Think about that. They were the first to see him there in the manger. And that one day, he would declare, "I am the good shepherd, the one who gives his life for his sheep." Third thing, maybe, if you haven't dozed off yet, is to think about that when God speaks to us in the Bible, he does so to bless and to save us. When he speaks, he doesn't sound like a condemning judge, but he speaks with the sympathy of a father. In fact, he tells us in his prayer, when he teaches us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven." Next, we can think about the grace of God to us through Jesus until we are made aware so that we can be aware of the depth of our need. Very important. And finally, we can also find it helpful to remember some of the songs and the lyrics of songs, you know, that we would sing this time of year. But one that came to me was the line, "We can discover a love that will not let us go."
Amen.
Amen, brother. So in this reality, we're talking about the theme of love this morning. In the reality of God's love, there are different things that are made available to us. Just because he loves us, we have these opportunities. First of all, there's a love that will not let me go. We have just finished our study of the Gospel of John, and you'll remember probably the most famous verse in all scripture. In fact, I was leaving Walmart in Kingwood the other day, and they had the billboard there, and John 3:16 shows up. Those of you that are watching football games, I'll guarantee if they show a picture of the crowd, they'll have somebody with a sign, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life."
Amen.
God takes the initiative in this love. It is something that we discover. It is something that's revealed to us that God has taken the initiative in Christ to love us. When Jesus' brother Jude, in writing to his readers, said in verse 21, "Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life." Keep yourselves in God's love. To be in a relationship with God is a two-way proposition. If you want a friend, you have to be friendly, right?
Amen.
If God is your friend and has embraced you, then you're going to do what is pleasing to him.
Amen.
And then in a few verses later, after that verse 21, Jude writes, "To him who is able to keep you from stumbling." Here's the two-way street. First, the exhortation, keep yourself in the love of God. And then the wonderful reminder that he has promised to keep you. It's a two-way street.
Amen.
The love of God is huge.
On one occasion, Jesus said, I have given them eternal life, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. Kind of reminds me of the old farmer who once said, Dear Lord, keep me kept. Keep me kept. Another reality is that in God's love, there is a light that guides us on our way. And this is a picture that runs all through Scripture, all through the Bible. Ephesians 5, verse 8, Paul tells us, For you were once darkness. Now, he doesn't say that you were once in darkness. He says that you were darkness. This is quite a judgment. The Bible says by nature we are darkness and are in need of the light of God to shine in our darkness, to show us the reality of our darkness, and to flood us with His life-giving light.
Amen.
For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Reminds us of Isaiah 9 that's been talked about earlier in the Advent season here. The people who walk in darkness, and that includes everybody, have seen a great light. Have seen a great light. When the angels come to declare the good news, it's no surprise that the glory of God shone around them. The heavens opened up in light. But later, Jesus will stand forward in the temple and say, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Amen.
And then as we read in John chapter 1, verse 4, In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Speaking of Jesus. Next, we can expect a love that will not let us go. A light that will shine, a light that will guide us on our way, and finally, a joy that meets me in my pain. A joy that meets me in my pain. Remember, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. We just read there in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 27. Mary and Joseph have brought Jesus to the temple to do the right thing as a young eight-day-old, what was done for them. And then in verse 27, it says, Moved by the Spirit, this is Simeon, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the power of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against. So the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And then the final verse there. and a sword will pierce your own soul too. A sword will pierce your own soul too. What a strange thing to say in that context. The text tells us that she pondered these things as she wondered what these words could mean. Until, of course, 30-some years later, looking up at her son at the cross, she would be hurt greatly. Her grief would be like a sword piercing her in her side. Mary, who in her song of praise, the Magnificat, declared, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And she now looks up at the cross and realizes that here, in my dearly beloved Son, is the very Savior that I have so desperately needed. You know, one of the real challenges during this whole Christmas season is that we have every temptation to cover up any pain, any sense of disappointment, and just push it down. And, you know, just have another eggnog or sing another hymn. Or open another gift. The trouble with that is there's nothing that can deal with human pain. The reality of what all of us at one time or another will face. You know, there's a reason Jesus was acquainted with grief. There's a reason why Jesus was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief so that you and I could be acquainted with joy.
Amen.
In the good news of great joy, we discover a love that will not let us go. We find Jesus a light that will guide us on our way. And we find in Jesus a joy that meets us in our pain. In all the world, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus.
Amen.
Now, in closing, I want to close on a personal note here. And, you know, we're blessed here to have three young men bringing the message here. And they're not near as sentimental as this old guy is. But this morning, we're celebrating the Advent theme of love. And we're also approaching the end of another year. Another year of God's grace that's been extended to us. And as we consider this theme of love, we should have no difficulty realizing just how much God loves us. Here's a definition I came across in preparation for the message. Love, defining of love. Love is devoting oneself to the well-being of others, no matter their response or the cost. To love is to share in God's own life. On a personal note, and I'm sure I'm speaking for Trey and Mark and John, we love you guys. And as far as I know, you've all trusted in Jesus. But I was thinking this week in the wrap-up of another year. What if there's someone in our church family who has not crossed over from death to life? What if? What if they've never made the most important decision that they'll ever make in their life? How many times have you heard this verse during study of the Gospel of John? But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name.
Amen.
Just in case there's someone who's not embraced the name of Jesus, and from our scripture today, he's identified as because he will save his people from their sins. And the name Emmanuel, which means God with us, here are four things that need to take place if you're going to become a Christian. Number one, there's something to admit. I need to admit that I am in the wrong before God, and I need to admit I need forgiveness. The work of being convicted of my sin is the work of God. We have not only signed up for a Jesus who is a perfect example, a great teacher, who is a healer and a friend, but have you come to Jesus as your Savior? Matthew 2:21, you are to give him the name of Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. He's our Savior, church family. So we have to admit something. We also have to believe something. And we could spend another sermon series on this topic. And it's hard to bring everything together in just a few lines here. But we need to believe that my sins have been paid for by Jesus' death. To believe what Jesus has said. To believe on completely what another has done. It's not what we've done, it's what has been done for us. God forgives because Christ died for us.
Amen.
Something to admit, something to believe, something to consider. This is an important matter. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this comes judgment. John 3:16, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son does not have life. For God's wrath is upon them. Pretty simple, isn't it?
Amen.
In this joy of Christmas, involving this theme of love during this season, I don't say these words to frighten you, but this is serious business. Please ask yourself this question. If Jesus were to ask you, why should I allow you to live with me forever? Folks, you need an answer for that. Something to admit, something to believe, something to consider, and finally, there's something to do. Something to do. Repent and believe. Amen. Turn away from all that displeases God. Take Christ at his promise. Trust him. Give up your personal agendas. Now, in closing, I just want to say that if there's anyone that has questions about what I've just said, if anyone is questioning their salvation, your church family is here to comfort you and to support you. And they are certainly willing to embrace you if there's a need, because we love you. From the closing hymn of the Billy Graham Crusade, I love this line, and I'm sure you've all heard it many times. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that you bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Now, before the final hymn, here's something I'd like to do this morning. It's a little, maybe a little strange to some folks. I want to make a big circle here. I want to hold hands and make a big circle. Can we do that? I'm going to ask Mark to pray for us at the end. But I want to give anybody that wants to pray your chance. Maybe there's something special you want to thank God for involving love this morning. Maybe it's maybe there's a situation that you're involved in where you need help from the Holy Spirit. But can't lie, I don't know. Can you not feel the Holy Spirit moving through these hands?
Yes.
He's in our midst. I want to tell you, this is a church family. This is a circle of love. And we look out for one another.
Yes.
Don't ever forget that. So, if anybody has anything to say, now's the time. Anybody thankful for any aspect of love in their life?
Lord, I just ask you please to come into the heart of those in my family that are having problems. And I thank you for being here today and for the gift of your son, who by his death on the cross saved us from our sins. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you love us and care for us and answer our prayers and are with us every step of the day. In the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I thank Jesus so much because he gave me Bill, that he knew what I would go through these past 15 years, and that I needed someone to be with me. But Jesus is always there. This Amen. Past year showed us so much that we had to rely on him for everything going on in our lives. And we just thank you and praise you, Jesus.
Yeah.
never say thank you enough for all that you have done for me and all that you've done for this wonderful church family in giving them to me. And Father, for all the saving grace that you have given to each and every one of us, your mercy and your grace is just beyond measure. And Father, I'm just so grateful that I have a Heavenly Father like you and a Savior through Jesus Christ who gave himself for me and for all of these blessed people standing in this circle. And Father, today I just say thank you from the bottom of my heart in Jesus' name.
Anyone else? Before I ask Mark to pray, let's all sing our final hymn. Okay, let's go back to your seat, sing Joy of the World, and then we'll have Mark pray. Okay? Number 170.
Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that it is so immense and so wide and so deep.
Amen.
And it's beyond our comprehension. Father, thank you for sending your son, Emmanuel, to be with us. Mm-hmm. Thank you that we get to celebrate your birth. And Father, thank you that we get to be a part of your plan, your world, and your grace and mercy towards us.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we ask that this Christmas, that this week, your Holy Spirit would revive in us, renew in us, and help us to better understand how much you love us. Thank you that, Jesus, you are our source of joy. May that grow in us, and may others see it. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.